Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, we got a big game coming up on Sunday.
So we're not going to talk about the Miami game?
What game?
This game, the bump in the road.
Oh, that game.
The one that snapped the away streak.
That game. Oh, I guess we should talk about
probably it. Probably touch on it.
Yeah.
Surprising.
So, talk.
It wasn't very pretty. It was ugly. It's forgettable. Brady, if you look at the numbers, one of his worst games in years. And
0 for 11 on third down.
0 for 11 is the worst in 30 years, 1991 basically. But probably not a surprise on some level with Brady banged up, missing practice time. No Gronkowski to the suspension. And then the defensive front, we knew they were struggling, and no Trey Flowers, no Kyle Van Noy, and the other team took advantage.
I know what you're saying, but I am surprised.
Yeah, it was a surprise to me, too.
Let's start with the offense. Yes, Gronk wasn't there, but there's plenty of other weapons that were still on the field. The problem is, for whatever reason, Brady didn't seem comfortable going to them. And, you know, I don't know what that reason is, but, you know, he's banged up. Let's face it.
No question.
He's not 100%.
And Andy talked about the practice time. I don't know how much that had to do with it and how much it was just pure physical. Whatever is causing him to miss the practices is affecting his performance in the game. But he wasn't comfortable right from the start. And I agree with you, Fred. That's why I was surprised. I thought with Cooks and Amendola and Chris Hogan coming back, all three running backs, there were still opportunities and options to make plays. They just never really got settled in. Offensively, it was really as bad as they've looked in I don't even know how long.
And it really probably wouldn't have been all that different in Buffalo if Gronk hadn't played. Gronk had 140 yards receiving in Buffalo, which was more than half of Brady's yardage. So they're in a little bit of a rut here where without Gronk.
I hate to think, though, that this offense that has all these weapons is that dependent on Gronk. And, yes, Gronk is all world, but that doesn't, you know, make me comfortable going into this Pittsburgh game. We'll get into that in a second. On the defensive side, though, they are depleted. Let's face it, they are depleted. But I thought the days of making, you know, a not-so-good offense look really good were over. Apparently not. But then I thought, well, you know, maybe it's just the fact that Miami hasn't played to their potential this year. They have talent on that team.
Yeah, Jay Cutler is a frustrating NFL quarterback because he has a ton of talent. Up and down, he can give you good games. This was a good Jay Cutler game. Kenyon Drake was coming off a 120-yard game. He's a versatile, athletic running back, and the Patriots have struggled with those guys this year, and he had one of those games where it's almost 200 yards from scrimmage. Landry and the other receivers, they're not without talent, but the scary thing is when you start to turn the page forward to this week.
Right.
Everything I just said about the Dolphins, the Steelers are better. They have more.
Yeah, and so let's do that. Let's turn the page. Let's get on.
You've been waiting to do that the whole segment.
We're on to Pittsburgh. Well, this is a big game. This is as big a regular season game as we've had in a while in these parts, right?
Well, I would say not just these parts, right? I mean, isn't this NFL-wide a big Steelers, Patriots, Roethlisberger, Brady, in a year when quarterbacks went down and teams fall by the wayside, this is marquee.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, what you don't know about the Steelers, because they've won games in so many different ways, you know, coming from behind. The kicker has been as important as anybody, Chris Boswell, for that team. But did they get it together last week offensively? You know, they look like they're starting to play a little bit better. And if so, that could really be a scary proposition. 39 points against a pretty good Ravens defense.
Well, the biggest thing I thought coming out of that game, Brown and Bell have had great years. Ben, you know, the other B, throwing for over 500 yards.
Right.
That's
what I'm talking about. You know, did they put it together? Are they starting to put it together offensively? And if so, even if you get Van Noy back and Trey Flowers back, because you're right, Fred, you said that they were depleted defensively, and they are. You know, and you add Hightower into that, that's three guys in the front seven. Any team is going to be affected by that. I mean, Pittsburgh lost Shazier, and they completely fell apart in their front seven, too. So what I would worry about is if Pittsburgh sort of figured it out, you know, and maybe Ben's settling in, because he was very inconsistent to bad at times early in the season, but now all of a sudden he looks like he's maybe settled down and still has something left.
Yeah, I mean, we always thought that, listen, if it comes down to crunch time, you're still worried about the ball in Ben's hands, in Roethlisberger's hands. He can still do it, let's face it. You know, we're not talking about, you know, the end of the career for Ben Roethlisberger. But he did it throughout the game in this one. You know, they were chasing points in this game, and he just kept coming.
You don't throw it 60 times and stumble into 500 yards passing and Antonio Brown. I mean, they've sort of hit their stride, if it is indeed their stride. I think Brown has four straight 100-yard games, capped by a 200-yard game. Le'Veon Bell is actually sort of catching the ball more than he's running it successfully, even though he leads the NFL in rushing, which is a little bit weird, but below 4 yards a carry. But that combination is what I would keep pointing to. Yeah. Is we talk about it all the time. Who do you stop or where do you dedicate your resources?
Right.
And I also believe, I've said this all week, I think the complementary guys are better than they've been in the past with Smith-Schuster and Martavis Bryant and some of those guys, Jesse James, tight end. They can spread you a little more than just the killer bees.
Well, we talked about it on our radio show, and everybody's talked about it in the past when it comes to Belichick and the Patriots. They managed to take away the other team's best weapon. But who is that in this game?
Is it the guy who threw for 500 yards? Is it the guy that is leading the league in rushing and has 75 catches? Or is it the guy that's leading the league in receptions and has 1,500 yards receiving? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, just to illustrate Andy's point about the secondary weapons, last year when they played in the AFC Championship game, you can make an argument a guy like Eli Rogers was the second best guy after Antonio Brown. We haven't even talked about Eli Rogers. He barely plays. He's a sort of a backup slot type guy, and they might throw a pass to him here or there, but they have three other wide receivers that they're, you know, certainly much more interested in getting involved. Plus, Le'Veon Bell is a huge part of the passing game. And remember what we talked about in Miami. I know we turned the page, Fred, but just as damaging for Drake in that game was 114 yards rushing was what he did as a receiver. And it'll be interesting to see if Pittsburgh watched that and says, let's see if we can get, you know, a Landon Roberts isolated.
I don't want that.
Or if it's Kyle Van Noy coming back.
I don't want that either.
With a bad calf. Do they have to put a guy like Patrick Chung on Le'Veon Bell as a receiver? There's a lot of different things.
Right.
I think the offenses are going to both have a lot of success.
But the flip side is, I mean, we started the year talking about the secondary, correct?
Yep.
You invest $65 million, you go get Gilmore, you re-sign Harmon, you have Chung and McCourty. Butler is a guy you've matched up, been comfortable matching up with Brown in the past. I mean, this is the game you have that for, right? Among any others.
This is
the game. You guys all need to do your job. I'm going to need you to cover you. But can they do it? We've seen hiccups and kind of ebbs and flows over the year.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we go back to the offensive line and pass protection. Tom Brady has that Achilles injury. He's been a little gimpy. And the offensive line has its own issues. Marcus Cannon went to IR. Cameron Fleming's been playing. Adrian Waddle still has the ankle injury. So you'll have a backup at right tackle, regardless of who it is. And the challenge of the Steelers is a big one. 41 sacks. Second in the NFL in sacks per pass play. They come from different angles. Cam Hayward is the best. TJ Watt's a good rookie, but they come from everywhere. It's on that line to give Brady time to work and keep him healthy. Don't let him get any more gimpy. Do your job.
I'm going to stick with the offensive line this week as well, but for a different reason. I think the Patriots need to get back to running the football a little bit more. The last couple of games, Miami the first time around in Buffalo, big-time production, almost 200 yards on the ground, and then they got away from that against Miami. Part of that was because of the game getting away from the offense in general, but they also didn't run the ball anywhere near as effectively when they did try. I think Deion Lewis, this could be a big game for him. Back on the college field that he dominated in Pittsburgh, Heinz Field, this is a chance, I think, to get back and give Brady a little bit of help. Keep Pittsburgh on the sideline. This could be a shootout offensively, and everybody always talks about keeping Tom Brady on the sideline. Maybe the Patriots want to turn the tables this week, run the ball a little bit more often, keep Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell over there sitting around, and the Patriots can get a lead on the ground.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
This week's Trash Talk, we look at something we talked about earlier in the show. It's Brown, it's Bell. Two biggest options for Big Ben. Which one do the Patriots need to stop?
And this is a tough one because I think that Pittsburgh offense, I am very much in awe of what they can do when they're at their best. We saw that last week against a pretty good Baltimore defense. For me, it's Bell. And the reasons are pretty clear. I think you saw what a versatile running back, what kind of impact that can have against the Patriots defense just last week with Kenyon Drake. And I think Le'Veon Bell is a whole different animal than Drake. And, you know, no disrespect to what he did. But if you get – if Pittsburgh's allowed to get him running the football and controlling the clock that way and out as a pass receiver to make some bigger plays, I think the Patriots are going to have a really hard time.
I think it's all Brown. And one of the reasons is sort of because I don't believe you can stop Bell. I don't believe they have the ability to stop the run.
Sure.
They've been giving up chunk yards on the ground really all year long since Kareem Hunt. 100 yards all year long to the opponent. Better than 4.5 yards a carry. But more importantly, that takes time. I think you can deal with that. You can find out if you're getting chunk plays to Antonio Brown down the field, big plays. That's what's killed the Patriots this year, big plays. You can't let Bell have 50, 60, 80-yard runs.
Right.
But I'll give him his normal 4 yards a carry, just eat away at 20-plus carries. You have to keep Brown from having big plays. He cannot have 200 yards receiving like he did last week. I don't think he can have a buck 50. If he's finding the end zone and finding big plays 20 yards at a chunk, you lose.
Well, certainly, I mean, if you're allowing those kinds of numbers to Brown, it's going to be bad news too. But, you know, I look at, you know, yes, Bell is averaging less than 4 yards a carry, barely, 3.9, but the Patriots' run defense also hasn't been very good.
Right.
And you know that what Bell is capable of. Maybe he hasn't really caught fire this year as a running back consistently, but maybe he hasn't played a defense that's struggling as much as the Patriots have to stop the
run.
8
of 13 games he's been held below 4 yards a carry.
Right.
So there's not all great defenses he's faced. But more importantly, I'd ask you a simple question. How are you going to stop him? What's the plan of attack? Are we going to put more safeties in the box? Are we going to load up, put more numbers? Because you know what that leads to? Antonio Brown going off.
And the big part,
and that's
too,
why I can't focus on Bell. I got to make sure Ben doesn't have Brown all day long. Bell, we're going to have to live with what he gets us. What do you like to say? Death by 1,000 paper cuts?
Yeah.
I got to give him 1,000 paper cuts.
And I think that you're probably going to end up being right. I think they're going to probably focus more on Brown, but I think it's just as dangerous to sit there and allow Bell to get his yards. I think they have to do a much better job than they have, especially on the edges. And, you know, I know a lot is made of Bell's patient style, but it's not really even as much as a running back, a true runner, that I'm worried, because you're right. The big plays mostly come in the passing game. You're probably not going to get beat with 50-yard runs. But Bell can make big plays in the passing game, too. That's why I just think he's so versatile, and I worry about the banged-up nature of the front seven. If Kyle Van Noy is even able to play, at what level would he play? I'm really concerned about this game from a defensive standpoint, and Bell is the guy I'm really concerned
about. I think
you
got to stop Brown, because you're talking about a receiver with 1,500 yards, right? Touchdowns galore, 15 yards a catch. He's got 100 catches already. He can make plays in so many ways, too. It's not like you just say, we got to get a safety deep and not let him get behind us, because he'll catch. You know, it's sort of the old Randy Moss thing where he can catch it short, take it deep,
yeah,
or catch it deep. He can beat you either way. And then I think the final point here would be, the scary proposition is, can you stop either of them? Even if you target either person, are you going to actually be able to stop them? And the likelihood is probably not.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
We're on to week 15, and that means the season is nearly over for many teams. It also means several coaching hot seats will soon be vacant. So let's take a quick look at the current coaching carousel. The Giants already fired Ben McAdoo. Steve Spagnuolo is the interim head coach. That seat is still hot, and the eventual new GM will make the final decision. Three straight losing seasons for John Fox in Chicago has his seat a tad uncomfortable, but I have a feeling he stays. Cleveland's new GM will determine if Hugh Jackson stays. Looks like they're blaming the old GM, so Jackson might get a reprieve. And my guess is Marvin Lewis is out in Cincy. The Jets did better than expected. I think Todd Bowles stays. They'll pull the plug on Pagano in Indy. Should have been done a while ago. I don't think John Elway will jettison rookie head coach Vance Joseph until he has a strong candidate in mind, and I don't think he does yet. Dirk Cutter is 13-15 as head coach of the disappointing Bucks. They need a strong leader in that locker room. The question is, who? And finally, Jason Garrett in Dallas seems to always be on this list, But all Jerry Jones really wants is a yes man, and Garrett fits the description. So after all that, I see two definite departures and a whole lot of squirming in the coming weeks.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
But joined this week by Patriots linebacker Trevor Riley. Trevor, the defense, overcoming the slow start of the season, then 8 straight weeks of really solid play. What was the key to the turnaround?
I think we're playing good as a team. We've caught some good breaks. And when you tackle well, set the edge, communicate, things go your way.
You know, I always love when we talk to Patriots players. They make things sound so simple, and we know it's not as easy as just blocking and tackling the way Coach Belichick always says. But just how do you sort of stay focused? I know that you weren't part of the whole thing way at the beginning, but so how do you stay focused and stay you keep the faith in what you're doing is right, and then when you eventually get the results?
Well, for me, they have a great blueprint here. I mean, I played against the Patriots on two different teams, and so. I'll always respect the way they do things, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise, and they have a great track record here. I think it speaks for itself. So, you just have faith in the coaches, have faith in the blueprint, and play hard.
And you obviously have a huge game coming up this week. You guys are going to travel to Pittsburgh, and there's one team in the AFC that's been as successful as you guys. It's the Steelers. You're facing a pretty unique running back in Le'Veon Bell. What kind of challenges does he present?
He's a great player. I mean, he's deadly, leading the league in rushing. He's second leading receiver, I think, on their team, and he's very deadly catching the ball out of the backfield. I mean, I call him like five-tool baseball player. He's a five-tool running back. He runs, he blocks, he catches the ball. He does all the things a great running back, Hall of Fame type of running back needs to do. So we got to respect him and do our assignments.
As a linebacker, when you see a guy like that, what sticks out to you the most? Like, what? You're right. He does so many different things well, but what really jumps out at you the most?
Very patient. He doesn't just hit it up in there. He waits on his blocks. When you're a kid, they always tell you to follow your block. Pop Warner, they tell you, put your hand on, follow your block. He does that in the NFL, and it pays huge dividends for him because sometimes the runs aren't there, the holes aren't there, but you wait a second, and he makes it happen. So, and obviously in the passing game, he's just a great athlete. He can make you miss, and he runs good routes and catches the ball.
Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you a little bit about something fun, off the field story. You spent some time as an Uber driver, and I'm just curious as to what that experience was like in New York. Is that right?
Yeah, so in OTAs in New York, we were out at noon every day. I don't really play video games, and my family was on the West Coast, so what am I going to do to fill my time? You can only do so much football stuff. And I'll go drive some Uber. Why not? Just for the stories, it was fun, man.
You guys have some fun in that linebacker room, I imagine.
Yeah.
You're getting heckled in the background over
here.
These
guys got to learn to respect their elders, man. They just think they can, we have a good time.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi. Official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's question time here in PFW. These are the ones that you sent to us at askpfw@patriots.com. And the first one comes from Morris Hickok. And he says, with the emphasis the NFL is putting on face mask penalties, why is it still okay for running backs to use the face mask in stiff arms?
Strangely, we got a lot of these questions this week. It's allowed. I mean, it's just the rule. If you just use your open hand right on the, you can't grab a face mask, but that is not an illegal hands to the face. If you're the ball carrier and you're using that to defend yourself, that's still allowed. Now, will they ever change that? I don't know, but the way the rules are now, that's legal.
Okay, because I heard, people were saying on that pass interference call that Cooks.
You can't do that. That's illegal hands to the face. If he had the ball, catch ball first and then push off,
right.
Completely legal. You have to have the ball.
That's the difference.
Okay. Jerry Gilbert writes in, since the Patriots signed Eric Lee off the Bills practice squad a couple weeks ago, before playing the Bills, reminded me of a question. Is it okay for a player to go on a new team and give up trade secrets of
yes.
his old team?
Yeah, there's no rules against it. There's nothing like that. Now, if you did something where you sent a guy to a team just to get information and come back with a playbook, okay, that'd be different. But if you just legitimately signed somebody, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick always poo-poos it.
You know, it seems like everybody's got somebody that played with us, and we got somebody that played with them. But they all do it. They all get a little extra information, whether it's scouting reports on teammates, schemes, language, everything. They all do it. It's been a part of the game forever, and it should be.
Is it frowned upon at all?
No.
No?
Why would it be frowned upon?
I'm just asking.
They're in the business of collecting
You're
information.
You're the only one here who's played football at a college level. You know, so.
Let's go. All right. Next question.
Move it along.
Finally, Dylan Damewood writes in, from the time Belichick was made head coach of the Patriots until now, which two running backs would you want on your team? And his is Corey Dillon and Kevin Falk.
Paul's probably going to say James White since he just had quite a James White.
Well, no. Those would actually be my two picks. I think Corey Dillon in 2004 was as productive a running back as the Patriots have ever had. I can't pick Curtis Barton because he didn't play right. for Bill Belichick. But I think he has two great picks. I think Kevin Falk did so many different things well, and he did it for such a long time that he gets the edge to me in that passing back category. I think James White has been great, but not like Kevin Falk.
What if you said they're playing at their best? Would you replace Falk with Deion Lewis?
I would. I would like to see Deion Lewis in the passing back role. He's sort of become a lead back here, but if you put him with Corey Dillon and say, I have a 1,500-yard rusher, Deion, you just need to truly be the passing back, mm-hmm. I think he could be dynamic in that role.
I would agree with
Tremendous.
That.
Tremendous.
At his very, very best, I would take Deion.
Obviously, Falk had the continuity and the
longevity.
Consistency right. over the long period of time. All right, that's it for this week's questions. Every week, send them to AskPFW@Patriots.com.